Hello, everybody. Welcome to our final Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence special episode, recorded here at CFRC 101.9 FM, supported by the City of Kingston and the Kingston Arts Council. Today, we're here with Oscar Evans, the eighth and final artist to join us in the Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, a project offering opportunities for young and emerging musicians and bands to use CFRC's recording studios to develop, rehearse, and produce new original songs. Finally, they are given the opportunity to have a live-to-air performance on the CFRC airwaves. Without further ado, here is Oscar Evans. Okay, I'm here with Oscar Evans. Oscar, thank you for joining me today. Why don't you start by telling us about yourself and your work as an artist?
I'm a multi-instrumental musician. Since a young kid, I played drums and pretty much any kind of percussion instrument I could get my hands on. And when I was more in high school, around like 14, 15, I started getting a bit more into music theory and learning songs and stuff like that. So as a blind musician, I didn't go to reading music. I just figured I would learn like the basics of like guitar and bass so I could learn harmony and music theory. And here I am now, 25, and I am a professional bass player and trumpet player. So a bit of a stretch from being just a drummer and percussionist as a kid, but that's pretty much what I do, is play as much bass and trumpet as I can.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. How do you think that multi-instrumentalist approach influences your jazz compositions today?
That's a good question. Well, when I write, I have like a keyboard and a guitar and a bass, and my trumpet's usually not far away. So I think of my songs, like before I bring them to a band, I usually try to play through them on the bass. I usually try to play the melody on my horn just to sort of make sure it feels right. And not that I'm completely objective in that way, but if it works for me playing it on bass and drums and trumpet, chances are people who are much better at those instruments than me, they'll not have too much problem playing one of my tunes. So
Absolutely. So what got you started in music exactly?
Well, it's definitely worth mentioning that my dad, Spencer, is a professional musician in Kingston, and I grew up seeing him sort of live the lifestyle of like a freelance musician. So I sort of always knew like it's a possibility you can do that, which is more than some people have. Like, I know musicians who, you know, are still sort of struggling to explain what they do to their parents. You know, their parents are sort of just like, okay, you play music at bars and don't have a day job. So, you know, it's like not it, for my parents, like they get it. They get the life. But I've always sort of been like naturally drawn towards music, I think, before I have any like real memories of myself. You know, like I've been told stories and whatnot of me being a really small child, you know, going and finding instruments and just like playing with them like toys. Like before I even knew how to play, I would like pretend to play the like a trumpet or something at my grandfather's house. Like so like I've just always sort of been interested in music. And then when I got like a bit older and developed like my personality, I was like, I want to be a rock star. I want to play drums in a rock band. I'm kind of just drawn towards anything in the musical world. Obviously with a focuses on jazz and improvisational music, but I mean, I dig it all. And I've pretty much at this point, played or at least tried to play most forms of music. I've been in a metal band. I've been in lots of funk bands, played lots of blues, done lots of different types of pop music. So, you know, like there's obviously lots to do in music, and it keeps me busy. So I think that's the main thing that I sort of gravitate towards in this whole thing, is just always sort of having something to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything in particular about jazz itself that drew you towards that genre?
Yeah. So I think the concept of improvising is something that attracted me as a young musician, mainly because like I've never read sheet music before. So it's sort of like, okay, I have to memorize a melody and I have to memorize a chord progression, but then the rest is up to me. I have to make it musically worthwhile for the audience to listen to, because the song is already good, the melody is already good. I just have to improvise and make something sound good for whoever's listening. So that's sort of what drawn me to it as like a young kid. I think now I look at it and improvising as a bit more of a deep sort of process. Like, I think jazz music is sort of one of the kind of, I'm just being careful saying some of these things, because like, I want to preface this by saying, like, I do have a lot of respect for, you know, many, many, many kinds of music. But I think jazz is sort of like the purest, one of the purest forms of kind of creativity and art in the musical sphere, because it's, you know, you develop your own sound and your own kinds of ways you like to approach harmony, which is like harmony is a thing that just exists. Like, we all deal with the same notes, and it's sort of up to us as artists to manipulate those notes into things that sound good for us. And if they sound good for us, hopefully they sound good for you as the listener. And it's just sort of this thing that all happens like right in front of you. So I have a lot of respect for prog music and music that requires a lot of pre-thought and pre-work. But to me, I put it like in a whole other bag. Like, jazz is just like right in your face, pure kind of creativity and artistry, like just right there. So that's sort of, that's why I like jazz, is because, you know, you just get right to it.
Yeah. Well, I think and again, respect to all other genres, but the improvisational like things that you can do in jazz is like, it doesn't compare really. Like, there's just so much, you know what I mean?
Well, it's a language. And yeah, that's sort of the thing that, like, some people who aren't big jazz fans, or, you know, are huge music fans, but they don't play jazz or whatever, sometimes they don't fully get it. And I just say, like, it's just like speaking a language. Like, it's the language we speak to other jazz musicians, and it's not about playing the best. It's not about being the best musician. It's just about, like, being on the same page with the musicians on the bandstand and creating something cool together. Oftentimes, limited preparation in the jazz world. I like playing all different types of music, but when I'm really sort of playing jazz or like my own compositions, it's sort of just like a bit of a free flow state that I really enjoy, that it's sort of just like, we're all just creating something and it's going to be different every time. And it all, like, all these things I appreciate.
Yeah,
about jazz
100%.
And other music, but it's the most easily accessible, I think, in terms of these feelings. Like, jazz is the most, it's like right there, ready to do it. You can get into like a cool flow state playing other types of music, but I think other factors are involved.
And speaking of composing, you previously mentioned composing music for a 4-piece jazz quartet, the mm-hmm. Oscar Evans Quartet, which yep. is your quartet, based around traditional jazz improvisation. How do you know when an idea is worth turning into a full composition?
Yeah, another very good question. I think it just sort of it is a lot of work. How I write these things as of this point, like in the context of the CFRC thing, I'll be recording and performing like 5 of my original tunes, and I'll sort of be calling that like a compositional EP. Right now I have close to 10 compositions that are done. All of these songs have come from very small, either me, like segments of either me playing an instrument or just a melodic idea that I had in my head that I went to go figure out on a piano or whatever. Like, none of the songs I've made have just happened. It's a process. You have one. How I think about it is like, you have one nugget of information that is good, and then you have to sort of like chisel away and craft something meaningful and something that's good enough to repeat, because like, jazz is about improvising, but obviously we can't just like make a bunch of stuff up willy-nilly. Like, what I'm doing is I'm writing a chord progression and a melody that you can repeat and perform and improvise over for a few minutes. So I have shorter songs, longer songs. It doesn't really matter, but the end of the day is that it sometimes takes me like up to 2 to 3 weeks, if not a whole month, to fully complete one song. And I do find it hard to work on multiple things at a time. So I sort of get into like a bit of a frenzied state of like, okay, this idea is good. I gotta work on it. And then once I've fully figured out how I want it to go, then I sit down with someone who can read and write music notation, and then I just dictate it to them, and then it's ready to be rehearsed. So it is a process, but over the last kind of year and a half, 2 years, I have five songs that are ready to be played with my quartet, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Would you say that's the same kind of creative process you went about with your newest single, Gotta Start Somewhere?
Yes, pretty much exactly. This song, Gotta Start Somewhere, which is out on all the things for you to listen to, it was probably the easiest song that I have written, and it also was kind of the first song that I wrote. I sort of started playing the bass, and I kind of came up with the initial melody and chord progression as like a solo bass thing. Like I could play the bass notes and the melody at the same time. At that time, I was making some music with Liam Cole and Michael Broadhead, who are great local musicians, and we sort of jammed out the initial form of that song. But then months later, I came up with a bit more of a standardized melody and whatnot, and started performing it in my quartet. And yeah, it's a simple song. And when I first wrote it, I was sort of like, oh, geez, I hope I can write other tunes. And now that I have five songs that I'm gonna do for this CFRC thing, it's like my least favorite out of all of them. Oh, this song's like so old, but it's just sort of how it works with music. You know, you put a lot of work into a thing, you record it, you know, you write it, you record it, mix, master, all of the stuff, and by the time it's actually out for people to listen to, you're so far from removed from the initial, you know, creative process. You know, you're just like ready to do the next thing or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's important to get an outside perspective sometimes, because you lose perspective a lot of the times when you're like in that creative process, you know.
Oh, for sure.
I'm gonna double back here real quick, and I'm just curious to know, can you tell us about the shift from trumpet to upright bass as your main instrument? What drew you into that change?
Yeah, so it was, I went to Humber College in Toronto, and I majored in trumpet, but I would sort of, and I mean this is true, so, and it was like kind of like a joke at the same time. I would like tell my friends, be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm paying for my trumpet education with gigs that I'm playing on bass. So it's sort of just like the fact of being a musician, you know, a lot of people sort of know or say, you know, bass players can always get gigs or something. Like if you're a good bass player, someone's going to need you in their band. So I always kind of played a lot of gigs on bass, electric bass primarily, but still, I bought my first upright bass when I was 16 from Winston Vin, who's a great musician in Kingston. And when I was at Humber, like from like 18 to 22 or whatever, 21, I was focused on the trumpet as I'm going to learn how this instrument works thing, because it's super hard and hard to figure out by yourself. And, you know, having a teacher really helped me at that time. And I always sort of knew in the back of my head, like bass is a really important part of me playing music. Like I'm studying trumpet right now and I really enjoy it. And I do love the trumpet and I still play trumpet. But music's hard and it requires a lot of focus and a lot of time. And without getting too technical, like trumpet, you have to practice a lot or play a lot or both to be a legit trumpet player. And I'm the first to say, like, I'm not a legit trumpet player. Like my trumpet technique, my chops, my endurance, you know, are not up to par to what would be considered a professional trumpet player. So I can make it work with some of the things I do, but for me it's a lot more musically rewarding to play play the bass because it's a different practice mindset. Like the way I look at it is like practicing trumpet, it's like working out at the gym, and practicing bass is like meditating or like doing yoga or something. It's just a very different process. Like I will stand in my living room and I'll do bowing exercises and then I'll start playing and I'll play the bass for, you know, over an hour and the time will just fly by. Like I'll be like, oh, it's time for me to actually start working on the stuff that I was working on. I was just doing warm-ups and just sort of playing for an hour and I didn't even realize it. Like for me, I never had that with trumpet. I'm sure other trumpet players have that where they just time goes out the window when their horn is on their face. But for me, it was always like, you know, do the scale. Oh, okay, up a semitone, up a semitone, up a semitone. I'm like, oh, I have how many more scales to go? Like it was always like a process. So long answer short, I've always done both and I will always do both. But as a composer and a band leader, I'm more creatively engaged as a bassist. And I feel like, you know, there's probably ways to, you know, study this and actually figure out what's going on. But I feel like different instruments and different musical contexts, you know, trigger and stimulate different parts of your brain. Like they must. Like for me, it really feels like different parts of my brain are engaged when I'm playing different instruments.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I agree. Speaking of performances, as we were mentioning before, tell us about some of your favorite memories as a performing artist.
Yeah, there's some good ones. But it's also one of these things, like when you play a lot of gigs and you know, do this like for your full-time job, you know, it's, you're always kind of just like the next memory I make will be the one I'm looking for. You know, you're always looking for like the next thing. And sometimes you forget the fun things you've done and people will like share some photos or a memory on Facebook, or I'll be like, oh yeah, I remember playing that gig. That was so fun. And like, I have been playing music since I was like a young child. So to think of a couple, one of the very first paid gigs I ever had, if not, I think it was the first paid gig I ever had, was I was playing bongos in a children's kind of rock band, contemporary rock, like not rock, but just like a children's band, you know? Like there was some really great local musicians. They're still great local, but this band isn't around. The band was called Butterfingers. Dan Curtis and Luther Wright and Mark Fraser was in the band, I think. I was a very little kid, but it was all local musicians and it was a bit of a collective from what I remember. And I played bongos at Grass Creek Park and I made $20 for playing one or two or three songs on the bongos. And I remember my mom took a photo of me with a $20 bill and I was like holding it up to the sky being like, I won, I've made money and I'm like only whatever, 9 years old or something. I forget, you know, might have been younger or whatever. So that was kind of like, okay, I can do this. I can make some money doing this moment. And then sort of fast forward to, let's say, Homegrown Music Festival. The first time I played Homegrown as my own band was a pretty cool experience. I was probably 16, maybe 17, and I put together a jazz quintet that turned into a really killer funk band. And that started off as, I think I just called it the Oscar Evans Quintet, but then I turned that band into a band called Relatively Minor, which had all local hotshot musicians. We played really great bars, but that first show at Homegrown, it was mostly instrumental arrangements of jazz standards with Nick Lennox on sax and Mike McKittrick on keys and Winston Vinn on bass and Dan Chalmers on drums. And then Savannah Shea guested, I think, on one or two songs. And then there was a lot of people there. And I just remember being like, oh, you don't have to just play other people's gigs. You can make your own gigs happen. So that was kind of a notable moment. And then I played some really fun local festivals, like Skeleton Park, being a part of that. Any chance I'm a part of that festival is always a really great summer. Most recently, I've been involved in this band called the Oddfellows Orchestra, Miranda Kira and the Oddfellows Orchestra. Look us up on Bandcamp or Spotify or any of that stuff. And they book some really cool shows we recently just played a couple really cool shows in Quebec. So playing in Quebec City to a packed bar of people who really, really appreciate, you know, kind of cool, eclectic, old music that's also, we also write our own music and like a cool old style, and like they just really appreciate that kind of music and art. So like that was a moment where I was like, this is really cool. These are really cool people that we're playing in front of. So, you know, it's a good life, you know, when it's good. So that's sort of why I seem to always find the good things in music and lean towards that. I don't know. It's always fun.
Where can people see you perform or find your recordings?
I would say the Musiki is the easiest place. I play there every Monday with the Morning Doves, which is Tyson Sullivan and my dad on piano and clarinet, and Justin Berry on drums. And that's like a kind of like a good times Monday vibe. Like, you know, everyone, you know, gets a cocktail and we sing jazz. And at the end of the night, we have a bit of a jazz jam. So it's a pretty good time if you want to come see me play and then also come hang and maybe even do some jamming. I would say Monday night at the Musiki. Every other Friday, there's jazz that I book at Musiki. It's not me per se, but sometimes it is. If you like rock and roll and psychedelic rock and blues, go check out Frank Ryan when he plays at the Toucan or whenever he does like a band gig. Usually playing bass with him. And then, I recently just put my original tune, Gotta Start Somewhere, on Spotify. And I believe by the time this is reaching your lovely ears, I will have at least one full-length album of jazz standards that is me on trumpet out. And I have two full-length albums that are sort of in the bank right now and or out there in the world. So look me up on Spotify and Bandcamp and all that stuff, and you'll see my most recent releases.
Okay, awesome. Why don't you tell us a bit about your upcoming live-to-air performance at CFRC? What can listeners expect to hear or experience?
Cool. They will hear some really, really good musicians, first and foremost. It'll be definitely jazzy, but it'll be a different sort of flavor. Like in I usually go for more of like a piano-driven, like aggressive sort of thing. I figured since this is like we're all going to be playing in the same room and it's going to be acoustic, I'd wanted like quieter instruments like the guitar and the flute. I think it'll be cool. Like Charles Lloyd sounding-ish maybe. I really like a lot of the jazz composers of like the 60s. So, you know, Joe Henderson and Charles Lloyd and McCoy Tyner and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll sound cool. Kenny Wheeler-esque maybe. But it'll just sound like us playing some cool tunes. It'll sound really good, and we'll be well rehearsed before the CFRC things.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds really exciting. Do you have anything else to add before we close off?
Well, I guess I would just like to sort of give a shout out to some of the kind of integral people in my life who have sort of helped me along getting this music thing figured out. And in that, I'll sort of just say, like, you know, if I don't mention your name, like, you probably have helped me, or if you know you've helped me in doing some kind of music thing, you know who you are, so thank you. But in terms of all my music teachers, like, from the W. Ross Blind School, like, Dennis Rondo and Tim Boyd and Laura Stinson, those people aren't Kingston people. No one really knows who they are in Kingston, but I wouldn't know anything about music theory or playing the bass or really like learning standards and like getting that under my fingers, that whole thing. Like I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those people. They really like actually taught me music and taught me like the, you know, important stuff, like key centers and scales and whatever. And then obviously my dad for hiring me for gigs and sort of teaching me how to be like a real life musician. Bobby Shu, who charted out all of this music that you're going to be hearing. Like the musicians would not be able to know what they're playing without people who volunteer their time to like help me actually chart it out. And then obviously all the musicians that I mentioned who will be performing this music, and you guys at CFRC who are doing this. I think it's pretty cool, and I'm super grateful to be part of it. So hopefully it all turns out well and enjoyable.
Yeah, and we're happy to have you. And thank you so much for joining me today, Oscar.
Thank you.
All right, and now we're going to go see Oscar Evans perform live here at CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you.
has got to start somewhere. You can stream that anywhere. That's been played a few times on CFRC already. Thank you, Dave Kuhn, and whoever else. We're going to keep things rolling here with a song that I wrote a little bit inspired by the great jazz composer Kenny Wheeler. This song is called Nice Buddies. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. Inspired by the song Kind Folk. Rolling on forward here, the next song is a bit of a swing number. This song is called Birds at Play, and this one goes out to the two mourning doves that have hatched and flown out of their nest right next to my front door in my house. Ooh. They are playing somewhere. They have left home. They're on their own now. So this goes out to you, little mourning doves. Once again, thank you for listening, all of you people out there on the radio waves. This is Tiago, Justin, Paul, I'm Oscar. We're playing some jazz music for you. This is my tune called Birds at Play. Thank you. Words at Play. All these tunes I've written over the last year or so, pretty much primarily for this amazing opportunity to play live on the CFRC airwaves. But I'm very excited to announce that this exact group you are hearing today will be hitting the studio, the stew, as our us musicians call it. We'll be hitting the stew in just a short couple of weeks, and we're going to be recording a bunch of takes of all these tunes and going to get them sounding really cool. So I'll be releasing all of these songs as a compositional EP, album debut kind of thing in the coming months. So stay tuned. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Spotify, all that stuff, and you'll get all the necessary notifications. Without further ado, some more music for you. This song is called Egg Salad, and it will actually be released on Spotify very soon because I recorded a different version of this song a couple months back with some other terrific musicians in Kingston. So stay tuned for that. This song is called Egg Salad. It's groovy. I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Salad. Hope you enjoyed Egg Salad. If you don't enjoy the sandwich, you might enjoy the song better. Anyways, a short little story about that song, Let My Hands Rest. Russell Malone, a great, great jazz guitar player and composer, tragically passed away last year, and I got to see him play just about like 3 weeks before he ended up dying. And I met him at the end of the show. And my wonderful girlfriend Molly said, "That was an excellent show, Mr. Malone." And he said, "What you talking about, Egg Salad? What's Egg Salad?" And Molly was like, "What? I didn't say Egg Salad." And he's like, I'm just kidding. Egg Salad, excellent. I don't know. I thought it was funny enough to write a song about it. So anyways, that's the story. I'm imagining everyone laughing in their car right now. Anyways, this is our last song for the afternoon. Once again, Tiago Cardozo on guitar, Justin Berry on the drums, Paul Morrison on the flute and the melodica. I've been playing the upright bass. Special shout out to Claire Williams, wonderful lady who sold me this instrument that I'm playing. It's a beautiful 1800s upright bass. So you're listening to it completely acoustically right now, which is kind of cool. There's a mic in front of it, and I think it's projecting a pretty nice tone, if I do say so myself. Anyways, enough rambling from me. I think my hands have rejuvenated themselves. This is the
Was Oscar Evans. Don't forget to check out his music on Spotify, Apple Music, and other DSPs. Thank you all for listening to these specially recorded episodes. We hope you enjoyed and learned a little bit more about these artists and their music. Once again, thank you.